Morning to turn to Psalm 54 and also Psalm 121. Psalm 54 and Psalm 121. Psalm 54, we'd like to just read the first part of verse 4. Behold, God is mine helper. And then in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The subject of these two verses, of course, is God is our helper. In Psalm 54 and verse 4, the first word that we read is that word, behold, which is used throughout the Word of God to introduce something very extraordinary, something unique, something momentous. In our text, that word behold is followed by a statement of fact. That statement of fact being God is my helper. That, of course, is extraordinary. And that is momentous. Throughout the Word of God, the word behold is used to introduce a subject of praise, something of faith and confidence. Again, the statement is, God is mine helper. That ought to bring forth praise in our hearts. That ought to be a matter of faith. That ought to be a matter of great confidence. We also see the word behold is a word that is a call for us to ponder something, for us to observe something, for us to meditate upon and to give very serious thought to. And what it is here that we are to observe and give serious thought to is simply, God is mine helper. We need to think about that. We need to meditate upon that. And then in Psalm 121, we have a statement of resolve in verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. In other words, I will look upward for my help. This resolve finds its basis in a fact. And that fact is stated in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So we are encouraged in Psalm 121 to look with the eyes of faith toward God for help. So we have two statements of fact. Psalm 54, verse 4, God is my helper. Psalm 121, verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord. And these statements of fact are repeated throughout the Word of God. Based on that statement of fact, there is the resolve, I will lift up mine eyes, or unto the hills from whence cometh my help. So the fact that God is our helper should be relevant in our everyday lives. The fact that God is our helper is something that we need to avail ourselves of every single day. I want to preach this morning on living in the reality of God's help. First point is, we need help. We need help. When people come to the full realization that they need help, They will ask for it. They will seek it. We need help. And the need is seen from the very meaning of the word, help. The word help conveys the idea of assistance, conveys the idea of aid. Do you not feel the need for assistance? Do you not feel the need for aid? There is the thought of relief. And again, do we not feel the need of relief? There is the thought of cure. There is the thought of restoration and preservation. There is the thought of prevention, preventing certain things. That's a help. There is the thought of deliverance. There is the thought of provision and guidance and direction and instruction. And there is the thought of enablement. So as you think of all the things that the word help conveys, do we not all need help? Do we all not need restoration and preservation, deliverance and provision, and so on? The very word help reveals our desperate and constant need of such. Our need is not only seen from the meaning of the word, our need is seen from our nature and our position and our situation in life. First of all, we are flesh and blood. What that means is we are weak. It means we are fragile. We are inadequate. We are insufficient in and of ourselves. Therefore, we need help. Also, we are sinful. Our hearts, Jeremiah 17:9 says, are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things. Our hearts will deceive us. Our hearts will lie to us. Our hearts will lead us astray. We need help. Also within us is a very destructive force. Galatians 5 verse 17, that force is the flesh. Left to ourselves, we will destroy ourselves. Left to ourselves, we will not only bring destruction to ourselves, we will bring destruction to everyone and everybody around us. We need help because of our hearts, because of this destructive force that is always within us. We need help. We're also in a spiritual warfare that involves an enemy far, far superior to flesh and blood. Involves an enemy that excels flesh and blood. We are told in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That would be much easier if our warfare was with flesh and blood like our own. It would be much easier. But we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, which speaks of the rank and rule of demons, against powers. That speaks of the strength of demons, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are flesh and blood. Being flesh and blood in and of ourselves, we are weak. In and of ourselves, we are inadequate. And we have an enemy. And we are in a warfare. And our enemy is not flesh and blood. It goes far beyond that. Our enemy is demonic. Our enemy is Satan. Satan is filled with intense hatred and enmity and hostility toward God. Satan is the very embodiment of evil. Satan is very powerful. Far, far more powerful than flesh and blood. His army of demons, far more powerful than flesh and blood. Our enemy is fierce. Our enemy is cruel. Our enemy is full of fury, and he's bloodthirsty, and he's savage. He's without any pity. He's without any sympathy. And he desires to have dominion and sway over each and every one of us. We need help. He is an enticer. He is an enticer to that which is contrary to God. We need help. He is a provoker. He provokes the disobedience. He is always seeking to get the upper hand in our lives. He is always seeking to turn us aside from what is right and what is holy. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says that he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, destruction and ruin are always upon his mind. Always. When you get up in the morning, destruction and ruin is on the devil's mind. When you go to bed at night, destruction and ruin are in the devil's mind. We need help. His devices are many. And he has devices to destroy us. He has wiles to deceive us. He very strategically lays his snares to entrap us. We need help. We need help not only to avoid the traps, but we need help to know where they are. For we are flesh and blood, and we are in constant and desperate need of help. On top of all of that is, we are flesh and blood. We have a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We have dwelling within us a very destructive force. We have an enemy that is set out to destroy us and to ensnare us. And on top of all of that, we live in a world that bears the image of Satan. We live in a world where the spirit of Antichrist is prevalent. The mood, the current, the trend of the world is Antichrist. The policies of the world are Antichrist. The philosophies of the world are Antichrist. The reasonings of the world are Antichrist. The fashions of the world are Antichrist. The entertainment of the world is Antichrist. We need help because of the world in which we live. The world, of course, is thoroughly humanistic. And we are bombarded with that philosophy on a daily basis, even when we don't even realize it. The world is filled with evolutional thinking. The world is filled with individualism and immorality. In fact, the world is a cesspool of wickedness. It is a cesspool of abomination. And any one of these things can swallow up flesh and blood at any time. We're in a world that finds Christ to be an enemy. We're in a world that finds Christ to be quite a bother. They look at Christ and they see a problem. They look at Christ and they see a pest. They look at Christ and they're aggravated. This world is under the direction and the sway of the spirit of Antichrist. And as such, the world finds Christ to be unbearable. It's amazing what people in the world will tolerate and what they won't tolerate. And they will not tolerate Jesus Christ. They will tolerate Barabbas, but they will not tolerate Jesus Christ. They find him to be very distasteful. They find him to be very unappealing. In fact, this world is insulted by Christ. This world is wronged, feels wronged by Jesus Christ. The world, for the most part, is outraged by Jesus Christ. Because of all of this, you and I, as children of God, can expect to find resistance. We can expect to find hostility. We can expect criticism and obstruction from every direction. We are flesh and blood. We have an enemy living within us, our own flesh. And we live in enemy territory. And we are in desperate and constant need of help. In spite of all of this, and top of all of this, the world is a place of great distress. Every day we are confronted with enemies. Every day we are confronted with opposition that we must overcome. There are trials, there are difficulties, there are afflictions. Again, we are but flesh and blood. There are sorrows, there are burdens, there are storms, and there are furnaces that we have to endure. We are in desperate and constant need of help. Also, this world is a place of turbulence and change. It is a place of danger. It is a place where there are pitfalls everywhere. And the truth is, living in this world, being flesh and blood and fighting the battle that we are called to fight, it's very exhausting. The flesh and blood. It's very draining. It's very demanding. It's very grueling. This world is a very difficult place. And this world is a place of famine. You will not find rest and refreshment in the world. So here we are in these bodies of flesh and blood. We have a force within us and all around us, and we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And this warfare is being fought in enemy territory, in a land of spiritual destitution, in a land of difficulties and trials. And it is in this world, in these bodies of flesh and blood, that you and I have spiritual duties to perform. We are to mortify sin. And in and of ourselves, we will not do that. We need help. We are to cultivate holiness. And we need help. We are to live above the world. We are to maintain our profession of faith in Christ without wavering, without compromise. We need help. We need help. Secondly, the help we need is in God. God is our personal helper. Again, the two statements in our text, Psalm 54 and 4, God is mine, singular, personal. God is mine helper. Psalm 121, 2, my, singular and personal again, help cometh from the Lord. The psalmist stated in Psalm 40 and verse 17, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help. Again, it's personal. God has promised to help us. Notice in Isaiah 41, verse 10 and verse 13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And God stated as a matter of fact in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9, He said, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Notice, Israel had already destroyed herself. But even in that destroyed condition, in me is thine help. We read in Hebrews 13 and verse 6, so that we, plural, may boldly say, the Lord is my singular helper. We have a personal help in God. We are not promised. We are not told. Nowhere is it even hinted at that we will have no afflictions, no difficulties, no trials, no temptations, no bereavements. But we are told that there is help in God for all of these things. Consider the kind of helper that God is. Psalm 121 and verse 1, or Psalm 121 verse 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The one who created something out of nothing is my helper. Creator God is my helper. The one who placed the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies and the planets by merely speaking, that's my helper. The one who created the seas and the oceans and the lakes and the rivers and the streams by merely speaking, he's my helper. Creator God, who spoke everything into existence. Creator God, who sustains everything by his word. Creator God, who sends the lightning and the thunder and the wind and the hail and the rain and the snow and the cold and the heat and the storms. He's my helper. Creator God, who holds back the waters, holds back the oceans and the seas, who holds the sun and the moon and the stars in their place. Creator God is my helper. What a help. Creator God is above everything. He is in control of everything. We say with Jesus in John 10 and verse 29, my Father is greater than all, and he's my helper. That's my helper today. No matter who the enemy is, Creator God is my helper. No matter what the problem, no matter what the trial, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the infirmity, no matter what the need, Creator God is my helper. That ought to greatly encourage us. Creator God is absolute. Creator God is the sovereign monarch of the universe. Creator God, He reigns supreme. Creator God has absolute authority and absolute control. He is above all. He is over all. He possesses absolute dominion. And He's my helper. He's my helper. Creator God, He's omnipotent. He's almighty. His power reaches to all things. Nothing can defeat His counsels. Nothing can thwart His purpose. And He's my helper. Not flesh and blood, but God the Creator. According to Psalm 121 and verse 2, is my helper. Creator God is all-knowing. His knowledge is infinite. His knowledge is perfect. His knowledge is perpetual. He knows how. And He's my helper. Creator God is omnipresent. Flesh and blood is not omnipresent. Your earthly friends cannot be with you every second of the day. But Creator God is. And He's my helper. He excels all. He reigns in every realm. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's always present, everywhere present. In fact, nothing is more present than God. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is a very present help in trouble. Creator God has everything that I need. And everything that I need is at His disposal. And He's my helper. He not only has everything I need, He knows everything I need, and He is everything I need. He loves me. And He always has my best interest in mind. He's my helper. God is mine helper. Psalm 54, 4. Psalm 121, 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This is extraordinary. This is momentous. This is something that I ought to give very, very serious thought to. God is my helper. Think about that. Think about it every day. God is my helper. Get up in the morning thinking about it. God is my helper. Go through the day thinking about it. God is my helper. Go to bed at night thinking about it. God is my helper. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That ought to fill our hearts with praise. That ought to embolden us. That ought to encourage us in the cause of God. God is my helper. Now, how does He help? Well, the ways God helps, of course, is far too numerable to mention. But throughout the Word of God, we read the phrase, "The Lord is my." And then following that is what He is. We read, "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my defense. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my shield." And as such, He's my helper. You see, He's my strength, and that's how He helps. He's my rock, that's how He helps. He's my fortress, that's how He helps. God helps by giving you and I unerring guidance. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Psalm 48:14. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. We ought to hear that voice every day. Not only hear it, we must obey it and follow it. So God helps by giving us unerring guidance. God helps by giving strength. How many times you thought, I can't go on? But there is God. And He gives you the strength that you need for that moment. God helps by consoling us. God helps by assuring us. God helps by drawing us to Himself. And whatever it is that God uses to do that, He does so to help us. God helps us by reminding us. We are very forgetful people. And we need help in remembering. And God is always there to remind us. God helps by correcting us. God helps by delivering us. God may even help by causing us to be taken captive to teach us some things. God helps by repairing us and overhauling our lives. God helps by reviving our hearts and conforming our lives. Believe it or not, God helps by sending us trials. God helps by sending difficulties into our lives. The very trials help us. And then God helps us in the trials. The very difficulties help us. And that's why you need to be careful not just to pray for God to remove the trial. That may be your help. God helps us by preventing us from doing many things. You realize where we would be if God hadn't stopped us? And I believe God stops us every day. God helps us by preventing us from doing things. God helps us by putting roadblocks in our way. Many times we find those things to be very inconvenient. But were not that roadblock there, we'd go under destruction. God puts it there to help us. God also helps by preventing things from entering our lives. All the what God has prevented from what from coming into our lives is innumerable. You have no idea the disease that God has prevented from coming into your life. Yes, God may send to your body a disease. A disease that will even take your life. But do you realize how many diseases God has prevented from entering your body? Far more than the ones that He sends. And if God sends a disease, that may be a way of helping us too. God helps us by not giving us what we want. God helps us by saying no. God's means of help is unlimited. We often get our minds and our hearts set entirely on the means The help is not in the means. The help is in God. And He can use whatever means He so chooses. 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11, And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with Thee to help whether with many, that's the means, or with them that have no power. God can use someone to help us that is even weaker than ourselves. Get our eyes off of the means and get our eyes upon the Lord. You remember in 1 Samuel 7, Samuel erected a memorial and he called it Ebenezer. Meaning hitherto, or up to this point, the Lord hath helped us. And as we look backwards, all the way to the present, we can raise our own Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. God has been our help. So again we read, Behold, God is mine helper. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And in Isaiah 50 and verse 9, Isaiah said, Behold, the Lord will help me. God has helped me. God is helping me. And God will help me. God is our help. That leads us to the final point. We need to seek the help of God. The vivid realization of our need of help and the assurance that God is our helper and that God is the help that we so desperately and constantly need. It is the realization of these things that will lead us to earnestly seek God's help. Psalm 12 and verse 1, two of the most wonderful words in the Bible. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. In Psalm 30, verse 10, Lord, be Thou my helper. Psalm 60, verse 11, there is the plea, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Psalm 109, verse 26. Help me, O Lord, my God. All through the Bible, we see individuals seeking the help of God. When are we to seek God's help? Every day, all day long. There is not a second that we are not in need of God's help. We need to fix our minds upon Him. When you're exhausted and can't go on any further in the service of the Lord, seek His help. Seek God's help. When you're fearful, seek the Lord's help. Help, Lord. When you lack peace, when that peace of the Lord that passeth understanding, you're just not feeling it, seek the help of God. When you lack strength, when you lack that spiritual resolve, help, Lord. Lord, I need your help. The very second you begin to live for yourself, seek God's help. The very moment you feel yourself at a distance from God, cry out to Him for help. God, I feel a distance. Help me, Lord. Because the problem isn't with Him. The problem's with us. So as soon as you feel that distance, help me, Lord. As soon as you feel the need of reviving, seek His help. When you're faced with trials, difficulties, when you're faced with needs and obstacles, and sorrows and burdens, seek the help of the Lord. But that's not all. When everything is going right, you better pray, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because, Lord, I know myself, and everything's going right, and I know, Lord, that I'm going to forget You. So, Lord, help me. When God is raining down the blessings upon us, you need to pray, Lord, help me. When you get that promotion at work and your salary doubles, you need to pray, Lord, help me. We need help. We need to know who we are. And knowing who we are, we seek God's help even in the good times, even in the blessed times. We need the help of the Lord. Every single day we need help. And every single day, He is the help that I need. I need to believe Him because there's help in that. I need to pray to Him. I need to trust Him. I need to lean upon Him. I need to walk with Him. I need to talk with Him. I need to cast everything upon Him. Why? He's my helper. He's my helper. Do you know that today? Do you know God as your helper? Do you live in the reality? God is my helper. Do you avail yourself of the help of Almighty God? Oh, every single day, we ought to find ourselves hundreds of times through the day, just, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You're in a conversation with somebody, and many times, you need to just stop and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Someone asks you a question and you need to pray right then. Lord, help me. We need to always be seeking His help. The truth is, if we would avail ourselves of the help of God, we would spare ourselves many a difficulty. We would spare ourselves many a problem if we had only sought the help of God. Don't use God as a fire escape. There are many today, lost man does it all the time. God's people do also. Have no use for God. Have no time for God throughout their life. They don't pray throughout the day. They don't thank God for their meals. They just don't think of God throughout the day. Suddenly their life is falling apart. It looks like everything is going to come falling down. And now they want prayer. Pray that God would help me. God isn't just a fire escape. We're to seek His help all through the day. Through every single circumstance. The fact is, if you live your life not seeking constantly God's help, you ought to almost feel guilty seeking it when something bad happens. Didn't say you shouldn't seek it, but you ought to feel guilty. God's not a fire escape. God's my helper. He's my helper every step of the way. He's your helper. We need to avail ourselves of the help of God. We are headed, just, and this isn't a political statement, just from reading scriptures and knowing what the scriptures say, we are headed for difficult times. And we had better learn to avail ourselves of the help of God. We need His help.
there isn't anyone here today that does not stand in desperate need of help from Almighty God. Behold, God is mine helper. That you would go from here today knowing that fact. God is my helper. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.